Jimmy Tingle is part of a small circle of stand-up comics who do political humor. For the past 10 years, he's been playing the comedy clubs and colleges. Last year, he made a splash at the Montreal Comedy Festival. Along with fellow political comics Will Durst and Barry Crimmins, Tingle is on an album called Strange Bedfellows.
Well, we don't have the money. Illiteracy, we don't have the money. AIDS, we don't have the money. The elderly, we don't have the money. Poverty, the money, the homeless, the money. Star Wars, we got a few bucks. We always have money for the Russians. These people should move here. But the sad thing about it is, if we don't take care of AIDS, illiteracy, the homeless, education, the elderly, things that actually matter in our own country, we don't need Star Wars because nobody is going to attack us. Well, think about it. Who's going to invade a leper colony full of homeless or illiterate poor people?
When you do comedy on TV, are you selective about what you'll do politically?
Sure.
Does it tone down a little bit for TV?
It's not so much that it's toned down, but if they don't know you, for instance, Johnny Carson can go right out and start talking about, you know, the president or, you know, whatever. David Letterman can basically do the same thing. Somebody who's really not well known, you have to get them to know you before you, you know, start commenting on the president, shall we say, or on the government or making statement. So that's the trick, is to just ease into it a little bit, you know.
Now, not all of your material is political, and I want to play an excerpt from a record that you're on.
Okay.
I'm 8 years old, playing in the front yard. My mother comes running out of the house. Oswald's been shot! Oswald's been shot! Kids, get in the house! I could never figure that out. I mean, what was going through my mother's mind? What does she think, that Jack Ruby was sitting in a cell in Dallas, Texas, going, all right, Oswald got Kennedy. I got Oswald, but there'll be no peace in this land until the Tingle kids are dead.
Did this actually happen to you, that your mother called you inside? And
right.
What brought it back to you?
What brought it back to me, I was trying to think of, I was just thinking of, you know, getting older and thinking of things. I don't know how I thought of it, actually. But when I did think of it, I remembered it, and I started working into my act. I thought it was kind of a really nice introduction into what I'm going to do. You know, I mean, it brings up, you know, obviously the Kennedy assassination and where everybody was and just a little bit about myself, a little bit about where I'm from and, you know, that's all, in a humorous way.
Well, I want to hear a little bit about yourself. Was your mother protective? did she not let you do things other kids' mothers let them do?
Oh, no. My mother was pretty cool, actually. She wasn't overly protective. No, I mean, you know, to a certain extent, you know. We had to come home, you know. You know, every night we had to be in, you know. Oh, real mama's boy. Ah, sleeping in your bed again, were you? Yeah. No, but she was cool. I mean, you know, I'm a pretty much the all-American boy, you know. It was in the YMCA, the Boy Scouts, you know. Went to school, grammar school, high school.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Cambridge, Massachusetts.
And were you good in school?
I could have been. But, you know, once I got past about the fourth grade, I started, you know, you hang out and you want to, I'm hanging around with kids that, you know, school wasn't really a thing. Like, we didn't get together after school and go, wow, I got a 90 on the test, you know? It's like, let's do something else, you know? And so I found sports, and I really got into sports and that type of stuff. You know, you know how it is when you're 10 or 11. I wasn't into school anyway.
What kind of career were you preparing for before you got into comedy?
Oh, boy, you know, nothing in particular. I got certified as a teacher just in case, you know.
Right.
But I got out of school, and I worked as a counselor in a detention center for about a year or so. And I was really not very excited about anything. When I first started doing comedy is when I really got excited about being a citizen, really. You know, I mean, you're in school and there wasn't that much excitement there, really. I mean, some things were very stimulating, but comedy really was stimulating. It's the first time I really applied myself, you know, my brains and whatever.
What made you think about doing comedy?
Because Let's see. I really liked music. I liked expression. I just didn't sing, you know? So, like, comedy is like being a musician without an instrument. You know, you can, or a poet, you know? It's like, these are my songs. These are my poems, you know? The bit on Oswald being shot. The, you know, bit on arms control, whatever. Bit on gun control. Little songs, little poems, little essays with humor in them. And I always wanted to. I always had a lot to say. I just had no place to say it. And the comedy is like, That's what it was for me, an outlet.
What was your early material like? Was it similar to what you're doing now?
Not really, no. My earlier material was, it was kind of anti, it was kind of anti-progressive, I think is how you would call it. I mean, I was really down on health food. I mean, you know, funny stuff. And it was very funny, and people really liked it. Certain audiences really. It was pretty working class, blue collar, I guess you would say.
Were you anti my gender also?
No, but there was stuff on, you know, relationships. My girlfriend, I can't believe it, you know, that type of stuff. It wasn't really anti, but I would do these things about, I did a bit. I still do it actually about gifts, you know. My girlfriend always want to give me something. And I could never admit want as a man, you know? And I was trying to figure this out. Why is it that I can never admit want? And I think it goes back to the gifts we get as kids, maybe. I mean, traditionally, little girls have always gotten, like, dolls, and that's nice. Traditionally, little boys have always gotten things like guns. There's a big difference there. Little girls, little doll, little dollhouse, little maternal thing happening here. We're down the street trying to kill the neighbor's kids, you know? And you fall, and, I mean, that wasn't, my material, that's in the last 5 years or so, but that type of stuff. And about gifts, you know, I could never admit want, you know. And maybe you run into it. Have you ever asked a man, what can I give you for your birthday, darling? What do you get for response? You know, nothing, nothing. I am a man. I have no needs. I have no feelings. I have no heart. I have a battery. If it breaks down, I'll fix it myself. Don't give me a damn thing. If you do, don't tell anybody. My friends will think I'm gay. You know? Right? That type of stuff. On the other hand, of course, you ask a woman what they want, it's like, vroom, any combination of these 58 items will do. So, you know, not because they're more greedy, simply they're just a hell of a lot more honest.
So how'd you go from retro comic to liberal political comic?
Oh, just you develop it yourself. I mean, you know, I'm doing stuff in my 20s, and that's what was around me. You know, relationships, just drinking, relationships, comedy clubs. I don't know. Now I'm 35. I started when I'm 25, so people grow up. People, you want to talk about different things.
What got you more politically aware?
Oh, I don't know. Probably, I majored in history in school, and I was always politically aware. I just never did transfer it onto the stage.
Mm-hmm.
And I probably started with Reagan. You know, when I started comedy and he got elected, and I just really felt that Jimmy Carter got a raw deal from the press. I remember that, and I felt that, you know, Reagan was, why isn't anybody busting this guy's, you know, chops the way they did to Jimmy Carter, you know? And then, you know, he was always talking about no one will ever take America hostage. Then somebody did, and we didn't do anything, you know? And I'm going, what about these promises? And then, you know, we invaded Grenada. I'm going, Grenada, what courage? You know, what are you going to take next, Martha's Vineyard? You know, and it was really Reagan, I guess, that got me into it. And I was just at a politically aware, but I never set out to be a political comic. These things were just in the news. And I just always thought the guy was you know, an actor playing the president. I mean, I remember once he was on television talking about, you know, the MX missiles and how many weapons we have compared to the Russians and how far superior the Russians are to us in terms of nuclear war. Then he had this big map and he showed everybody where we're going to put our secret weapon, the MX missile. And I'm going, gee, you know, do you think the Russians know it's in Wyoming? And then I came to my senses. Of course not. They don't get Channel 4. But that type of stuff, that Reagan saying one thing and doing another, had a lot to do with it. And then the Iran-Contra thing, you know.
Is there anything that you used to really do wrong when you started off that you figured out and you don't do anymore?
Let me think. Probably rush things. I try not to rush as much. I try to be more conversational. I used to be really hyper on stage and really high energy. I'd leave sweating and I'd screaming and like veins are popping out of my head, and You know, I'm kind of a lot mellower than I was. And I do it for me more, you know? I hope they like it, and I want them to like it, but I'm writing for myself. And that's important to realize, look, I know this is good, you know? And I know I'm making a good point here, and that's the direction I'm taking. And if not everybody at this particular club likes it, well, that's okay. But I like it. And that's important.
Well, thanks a lot for talking with us.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
Give one to the president. Give the president a computer. The president doesn't remember whether or not he sold guns to Iran. How can you not remember selling guns to people that hate us? You know what I'm saying? Okay, in the future, right, Mr. President, or Mr. Dukakis, or Mr. Bush, whoever is president of the United States, if you ever sell guns to people that call us the great Satan, jot it down. Make a little note.
Comic Jimmy Tingle. That's from the 1988 album Strange Bedfellows on A&M Records. This is Fresh Air.